Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for just the message that you put upon Steve's heart to be able to talk and minister to our hearts, Lord God. And Lord, right now we ask that you would be glorified in this workshop, Lord God, and that, Lord, you would open up the hearts of the different individuals that are in here, that they might be able to take something, Lord God, that they can use at their church, and that they could just multiply it many times over. We give you glory, we give you praise for just your presence here, Lord God, and just for the great things you've done in each of our lives. And I just bless your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel kind of confined on this mic. Feel like I can't walk around here, but why don't we begin with sharing, how many of you have a church that's around 100? Raise your hand if you have a church around 100. 500? 1,000? 3,000? 4,000? 6,000? Okay, I just wanted to get an idea of what the size of the churches that we had in here. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to turn to a person that doesn't go to your church, and I want you to tell that person a praise report and also a problem in your children's ministry. So a person that does not go to your church, turn to that person and share a praise report and a problem. Okay, does everybody have a praise report and a problem from the church? Now, does everybody have a praise report and a problem from the church? Can I have some people maybe comment on that? One or two? Nobody's going to be brave enough, huh? Can somebody share on a praise and a problem from their church? Yeah.
They're all tied together. We have a church of about 150 members.
Wow. So you guys hold on to those thoughts till the end on those praise reports and those problems. We'll be covering it at the end again. Now, I want to share a little bit about myself. And my name is Rudy Cardenas. I'm the Christian education pastor for Downey, Calvary Chapel Downey. And our fellowship is about 1,500, or our children's ministry is about 1,500. It goes from nursery all the way up to high school. And can you believe it? It's still growing. We're still getting a lot of babies and a lot of more kids that are coming in from parents that don't fellowship at that church, which is really neat. We're starting to get a lot of them that are just being brought in because of other kids hearing the programs and the things that are going on at Calvary Chapel Downey. But I want to cover some areas with you guys, but I want to just share a little bit about myself. This way at least you know where I came from. I started with the two-year-olds. Almost 9 years ago, I worked as a Sunday school teacher for two-year-olds, and it was such a blessing because at first it was like I would have never ever started with two-year-olds. I was afraid of them. I didn't want no part of them until they caught me. They really just got all over me, and I fell in love with them, and things progressed after that. I ended up working with the older kids, and then in the summer I'd be working as a summer camp director and going on summer trips until finally when 4 years ago I came on staff, and that was a big decision there. I was really working on a new company for an engineering company, and the Lord was tugging upon my heart to get into the ministry. But at the time, I was more concerned of just making some money and getting along with my family and just having a neat time. Well, what had happened is that the Lord was also tugging on my heart to get involved with the ministry. But then I was thinking to myself, well, in children's ministry, it's going to be for the eternal value, while in a job, it'll be for physical values and everything else. And so I had to make a big decision, and that decision was, of course, for eternal values. And I think that working in youth ministries has a lot of eternal values in it. And as you can see, the Lord's just constantly just showing me and changing me and molding me and even bringing me to this point here to give a workshop. I'm really just excited to share this workshop. And some of the things that I want to share, I didn't get to share the last workshop was Pioneer Clubs, and that's what I want to go with first. Pioneer Clubs, if you can see one of these banners that I have up here, it's a group of Boys and Girls Club, and what it does is that it works from October to June, and we have a group of kids that are separated, like the boys in the boys group and the girls in the girls group, and they have their own age groups, and they do campouts and they do activities that go from having a slumber party to maybe even having a Bible X to all sorts of activities that are just really excited. And I see this will come confined with this mic here. I really like it up here in the front. I can do a little bit more talking, but then I don't have my notes back there. But Pioneer Clubs is really neat because I get to also challenge the teachers to use their talents to motivate and to excite the kids and get them excited for the Lord. For instance, we have a 4-year-old kindergarten kids that maybe even go to a McDonald's or to an outing that might spread the gospel through their witness there at the McDonald's, or spread the gospel through just talking with grandpa or grandma in one of the tea parties that we have or a certain activity that we have. But it really refreshes the kids. It really gets them excited for the Lord. And that's what we wanted to do in Pioneer Clubs, is to get them excited. You can see here I had a slumber party for the first grade girls, and they had an outing there, and they had all these girls just really enjoying themselves. What they do is they have a banner with the different names of each of the groups. Like this one here is the Voyagers, first Pioneer Girls, first grade, the Voyagers. And then we have different names from Trailblazers and the Pathfinders and the Scooters, which are the kindergartners. And they're really neat. You see these little kids walking with these little T-shirts and they say Scooters on them. And they're all excited. They're jumping around in the classroom and stuff. And the girls as well, they get really excited. But they pull the parents in. What they do is we have it on a Sunday night, and on Sunday nights, some of the parents rather not go to church. You probably had that occasion, haven't you? When parents, Sunday nights, they want to get ready for Monday and get ready for work. Well, Sunday nights, it draws the parents in because the kids are the ones that are yanking the parents in. They're saying, Mom, I want to go to Pioneer Clubs. Come on, we're going to have an outing today. We're going to have a special celebration tonight, or a talent show, or a missions night. But there's different activities for the kids to get them involved. At the same time, we have Bible X, we have a song fest, and we have games, and they're all participated with each other, which makes it really exciting. What else? And the vision, mostly for our Pioneer Clubs, is that Christ would be in every phase of life for in the kids' life. And really, there's so many things that also we do in Pioneer Clubs. We do club awards. Like, we just had our celebration for Pioneer Clubs. It's the end of the year where we close camp down. We close the Pioneer Clubs down. We have it in this big old room. We get a lot of balloons, fix it all up, decorate it, get it all exciting for the kids. And we put booths on the side. And we have places for them to eat, like cookies punch, and then we put on one side, we put all these games and stuff, and we make it an activity time for them. And it's really exciting because all of a sudden, towards the end of the night, some of the ones that have been bringing their Bibles in and just learning their memory verses and doing a quality job in their preparation for their lessons and receiving, they're given an award. And sometimes when you see the guides, the teachers, which we call them guides, they hand out the awards to the kids, and they remember something special about the kid. And even the ones that have been acting up, sometimes you guys probably have some ones that act up sometimes, don't you? Some kids that are really hyper and stuff. Well, those kids, what they do is they turn it around. They give an award to one of those kids and say, you know, he's improved. He hasn't acted up. So they offer him an award that he's been doing a better job than what he was doing before. And how do you get involved with Pioneer Clubs is there's a place called Wheaton, Illinois, and it started up in Wheaton, Illinois. And I don't have the address of the name of the company here that you would be able to start up your Pioneer Clubs, but if maybe at the end of the session, if you're interested in Pioneer Clubs, you can come up, and I'll give you my telephone number from our church, and you can call us up, and I'll be free to give you that telephone number. Yes?
I have that phone.
Oh, great. Good, yeah. Which I... the telephone number is 1-708-293-1600. And this is for Pioneer Clubs. What they'll do is they'll send you a starter packet. You can ask them that you want to start up a Pioneer Club at your church. And it doesn't matter how big your church is or how small it is. It's really neat. If you started off small, you won't go through the struggles of trying to find a lot more teachers or guides for your groups. But a smaller one, you can work it off where you just divide the boys and the girls. But I think it's the best type of activities for the kids. Some other people have gone with, I think it's called Awanas. But I prefer Pioneer Clubs. They have everything set up. They got the curriculum. They got the booklets. They have the awards. They have everything set up. And they also have a coordinator. Say, for instance, you need someone to talk to if you're having some certain problems. Well, they have a coordinator there so that you can... talk with them about those areas that are just falling down. But I didn't bring any information of our Pioneer Clubs, but what we have is we have a coordinator that coordinates the Pioneer Clubs, and this year we just started something new. We have two coordinators, a co-coordinator, one for the boys and one for the girls, and what they do is they kind of like encourage the teachers, keep them going, because some of those Sunday nights they get kind of weary and tired, and so they need to be encouraged with letters and postcards and some encouraging scriptures, and as well as any problems that they might have. Do you guys have any questions on Pioneer Clubs? Any? Yes. No, in the beginning, you would ask them for a starter pack, and the starter pack gives you quite a bit of the information. It's when you initially have, like, we have, I think, about 14 classrooms, and then you have to go into the money, because the thing is that you have to pay for each of the groups, like Voyagers, Trailblazers, Scooters, and so on and so on. And it's
basically the material.
Yes, uh-huh. And they're willing to help you anyway. And I just had a person that had talked to me a while back from Seal Beach, and she just started up Pioneer Clubs, and it's going really well. They've are real excited about the input that they're getting. Yes? Sure. It usually starts at 6 o'clock, our Sunday services, and what they do is they open it up with prayer, and then they go into a game. It's like an icebreaker. And then from there, they go into a song fest worship. We call it we have camp names for it. Because, they hear it at Sunday school. They hear it on Wednesday night. So we need to change it around for them to say, hey, this is different. We take all the desks out of the room, or we move them against the wall. We let them sit on the floor so it can feel like it's a camp environment. And then we, from the song fest, we either go into activities, maybe a certain activity that they're going to do, a certain game. And then they go into a Bible X. A Bible X is like your object lesson or a lesson on what the books have, like a curriculum. But it's called Bible X, so it takes away the saying it's curriculum. Bible X sounds a lot more exciting to the kids. Hey, we're going to get in our Bible X now. And they get a little bit fired up on that. And then we go into a Bible memory, which they memorize their Bible verse it's really what it is. It's like curriculum, just like Sunday school. But the only thing is that we've turned it around, or it's turned around for the benefits of the kids to get excited of a club environment. It's like a boys' club or a girls' club, but the only thing is that it's Christian. Any other questions? Yeah.
Did you start all grades at once?
No, we started small at first, and then we kept on adding different groups. Like this past year, well, this is our second year of Scooters. Scooters are your four-year-olds to kindergarten. Usually those are your toughest because their listening time is not really well, but it's been working out really well. This is our second year with them, and they just enjoy it. They have a banner outside of the room, and as they walk in, they have their set rules. We have some set rules for them. And as well as just having certain activities, they've had an overnighter, what we call an overnighter, inside the room. We got a pup tent, and for the scooters, they haven't left the premises or anything. They just got an overnighter. They got a little pump tent, and they had a camp out right in the room. They felt like they were out in the forest and stuff. Or they had a bear day where all the girls were bringing in their teddy bears and their bears, and then they shared about the different things about bears and stuff. And it makes it really interesting. It makes it really exciting for them. And you can see what it does to the parents. It makes the parents come to church, because some parents go, oh, man, Sunday nights, I went already this morning, and I need to get ready for work. But it draws the parents in, because the parents are pulled by the kids. I've heard a lot of parents tell me that. Any other questions? Yeah. Yes, what we have is we have a book. Pioneer Clubs has a book, and they have an option to buy the book, or what we do is we provide it if they can't afford it. Books are about $5, and usually some churches, what they do is they set a fee, $25, $30, to start Pioneer Clubs to each child that is enrolled, and some have enrollment. But on Sunday nights we have such a difference in attendance from kids that we might have 15 on one night, and then we might have 7 the other night. So we don't charge a fee. We just ask the parents if they can afford the book to buy it, and most of them they reply by buying the book. Yes. Mm-hmm. They have awards. Say, for instance, they have awards for one of their crafts that they made, or maybe an award for bringing in their Bible, and they're tiny little awards. I have a book up here that you'll be able to see. I'll leave it up on the table, and this is our book that we train our Pioneer Club teachers, and it has all sorts of information from the meeting, what it is, discipline, the first night of clubs. It goes to how to lead a child to Christ, and all sorts of just neat tools that can be used. But I'll have a couple of books up here so you can see some of this stuff up here. But here's a section here with some awards. You can see right here it has special awards for the mad artist, safety, outdoor living, design, indoor, outdoor. And they could either make the awards, or what they can do is put it on a sash, or put it on a hat, put it on a shirt, and when they come to Pioneer Clubs, they wear this. And even the sixth graders get involved in this, because they wear their hats like with all sorts of awards on it, and they feel kind of good about it. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but you said it. Great. Yeah, that's the difference between the Iwanas and well, there's some people that have started on Wednesday nights as well. I prefer to do it on a Sunday night because I want to use it also as to bring the parents in. Wednesday nights we use curriculum, we use a scripture press, so we already have that set. If you have an extra night or a certain other night that you can put Pioneer Clubs, it wouldn't be a bad idea. But it's a... Yes?
So how do you promote it? Do you promote it to the kids Sunday morning? Try to get
involved
in the school? Or do you promote it to the whole church?
We promote it through the bulletin. And in the bulletin, we have it written out, Pioneer Clubs, 4-year-olds through 6th grade. And then also, beginning of the year, we promote it... quite a bit. We put it in the bulletin with a flyer that has what it is and what it's all about, and it's free. It doesn't cost the parents anything, and as well as just letting the kids themselves spread the news. We've reached almost 200 this past year. We went over 200 with kids in Pioneer Clubs, and that is a lot of kids for a Sunday night. Usually we average about 100 and 110, maybe 115, 20 or 30 on Sunday nights, but it really boosts the attendance of kids. Any other questions? Yeah. Yes, what we do is we have outings, certain outings that we have, the guides would take out the kids for a 3-day camping trip, or maybe even go out to the beach or a bike ride or on a Saturday and do other activities. You can make it as active as you want, or you can kind of bring it down just maybe giving a tour of the church. We've done that. We've took them to the bookstore just to see what's there. But we really just mix it all in with activities and Bible X, of course the Bible and Songfest, which is worship and all the other things. Okay? Okay, let me move on with, Sunday school. Okay, up here, up in the front, we have, when you get ready to leave, we have some youth ministries commitment forms, and we have some job descriptions. We also have some youth ministries applications. And feel free to go ahead and take them. I didn't expect the first workshop to have that many people, so we made some extra ones. So if we run out, you can just give me a call at Calvary Chapel Downing, and I'll go ahead and send you one. But let me go with... was sharing about the youth ministries applications. This is usually the beginning of our youth ministries. We usually try to get some type of an application to find out where the person's from and how long have they been attending the church. Usually our 6 months is about the time that we kind of look at if the person has been involved at church can get involved in youth ministries. But it's self-explanatory. It just goes in through some spiritual qualifications, being born again, of course, being the number one factor. And also, another factor is also having a love for children. Some people, they go, well, I think I'll just do it just to get involved in the ministry. But I think the key of youth ministries is you need to have a love for children. If you don't have a love for children, then you shouldn't be in youth ministries. I think that's an important tool in reaching the youth as well, because they know kids are pretty smart. Most of you guys worked with kids. You know that they know that, hey, you're pulling a wool over their heads or something, and you're not really showing what's in your heart. And I think that as individuals that work in youth ministries, we need to love them. We need to really just have a commitment towards serving and working with them. But this is our first place where we start, is with the youth ministries application. And then we go into the commitment form. We have a commitment form that goes over what the youth ministries commits to the person that's signing up. It's a prayer partner, the curriculum, the supplies, supervision, fellowship, personal growth, and training. We provide every 4 weeks we provide a workshop for the teachers to go through songs. Like, I think I'm going to try up a song. Would you guys like to sing a song? Yeah. We can try a song. What we do is we have monthly trainings on some of the songs and some of the things that they can learn and use in their classrooms. Like right now, we'll try this one here. Get you guys started and get you awake here. This one goes with a song of This Old Man. No, I think I'll change it here. You guys like baseball, don't you? It goes with the same song as a Take Me Out to the Ball Game, but it goes... Take my sins, Lord Jesus, take my sins away. Thank you, Lord, for giving me. Now I know that I'll always be free. So let's root for the Savior. He has done it all. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. Satan, take a fall. You're out. The kids really like that. You got to give that little extra. You're out. You can see the little small ones when they go, you're out. They like that. And this is some of the things that we cover in our workshops. Songs, getting them involved with songs, as well as the workshops, we have something here. You guys think it's a pizza, right? No, it's not a pizza. It's a flannel graph board. You were talking about space, or you were talking about you were moving. This would be a good idea for to carry along to different areas, maybe to a park, or and then you can put the objects up on top. And you can just get any pizza box, or a big one or a small one. You can put on your lap. You can take it on the mission field. It's like your portable flannel graph. And the thing about it is that it's an eye catcher. As you're walking down with your pizza, kids, you're coming into the classroom. They go, hey, we're going to have pizza today. And they go, nope, we're going to have a story today. And you can open it up and give them a little story on a certain area. But we try to gear the workshops for the teachers to benefit from it so they can grow and they can be challenged, as well as pulling them up and letting them share some of the things that they've done in their classrooms. We also have a teacher's packet. I've been using this right now for our teachers. It's called Making Your Teaching Count, and it's a teaching kit by Scripture Press, and it comes with the book, and it comes with the overheads, and as well as the handout sheets. And so it has it all together here for almost 7 or 8 months of workshops here. And so, you know, there's different things that you can use for your workshops besides the songs and the graphs, as well as giving them a little bit of the teaching of how to use their teaching skills and improve their teaching skills, as well as using the Word of God. That's another thing. I know they hear it during Sunday, and they hear it during Sunday night, and they're pretty exhausted after they do their Sunday school classes. And usually we have it on a Sunday, their workshops, and we go again over the Word, because this way at least they're being fed again, and they're being directed in the area where the Lord wants to talk to them on a certain area. Do you guys have any questions on the curriculum or the workshop? Yes, it is. And matter of fact, they have a certain consultant that will come out and even help you with that. They have a videotape to show you how to use the curriculum. They send out someone to talk to you, how maybe even talk to your teachers and go over things. And they work with your church to be able to get them started on Scripture Press. For Sunday mornings, we use child evangelism. And then on Wednesday nights, we use Scripture Press. And I found out Scripture Press is great, because it has all the new things for the kids. It doesn't bore them. It keeps them sharp, as well as keeping them excited for the Word. Matter of fact, if you have a chance, you know, you can come up and take a look at what they offer for the different age groups. I have that box right there, and it has a 2-year-olds all the way up to junior high, I think it goes into the curriculum. But CEF, what we have on Sunday mornings is that we've gotten the Christian or Child Evangelism, I'm trying to think of the title here, CEF, a curriculum. What we do is we've made it into little packets. We've got all the curriculum, and we put them in little packets so that we can hand them out to the teachers on a Sunday before their next lesson. In other words, let me show you. We purchased the book, and from the book, the book might have maybe 8 lessons in it. And so what we did was we took it all apart, and we put them in envelopes. And this way we can use the different lessons for each of the weeks. And all we did was for each of the classrooms, we bought more books so that we can pass them out to the different teachers in different grades. So throughout our whole Sunday school, we have CEF being used on the Sunday morning services, and everybody goes through the same curriculum. Everybody goes through the same area, and it has your memory verse, and it has your flannel graphs if they want to use the flannel graphs, or if they want to just read up what it says. But it's all in the booklet, and it's different than Scripture Press. Scripture Press has your booklets and stuff like that, tear outs and stuff like that. For our 2-year-olds, we use Accent. This is a different curriculum, but it's excellent for the little kids, the 2-year-olds to the kindergarten. It's real, real basic, and it doesn't go into any doctrine or any theology or anything real to upset the children. Like this one's the Little Children Love Jesus, and it gives everything from the overview, getting ready to teach, gives you an outline, the summary, story cluster, and even the activities and the church time if you want to do that. And then it goes into the lesson. But it's really good. You can see here the main area here was unto you is born a Savior. And that's what would be the lesson for that for the small kids. And I'll tell you, the two-year-olds, I started with the two-year-olds, and some people say, two-year-olds don't learn. Yes, they do. They do. And you know what? They do sit down. And they sit there, and they listen, and they worship the Lord, and they praise the Lord, sometimes a lot more than the older ones. I've seen these little kids raise up their little hands and praising the Lord, just waving them. And it's awesome to see those little kids praise God. And it's a blessing. Kindergarten, we also have accent. We also use accent as a curriculum. You guys have any questions on the curriculum? It's yearly. They change yearly. They go through a certain cycle, and then all of a sudden they go into B year. And I think it's, matter of fact, it has three. A, B, C. It has three types of years that it goes through a certain cycle. But then also they kind of change it to keep you from keeping the curriculum. So they're pretty smart as well to keep you buying it. Any other questions? There's a card up here, as well as a free curriculum sample request card. What you can do is they'll send you a free packet of any grade that you want, and they're willing to do that just to see if you like it. If you enjoy it, you can use it. And that's how I got in. I started using it, and he came down and showed me the curriculum. I thought it was great. We have quite a bit of kids that aren't Christians, and it seems like the ones that are Christians are working on the kids that are not. As they come into the classroom, you have the ones that are praising the Lord and the ones that are real quiet and just looking and listening, and it rubs off on them. And we give the teachers a chance to give a salvation to the or to give an altar call to the kids. And we usually use a wordless book. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a wordless book, different colors. Sometimes they'll use a wordless book. Either that, or they'll take the child outside and then speak to them, seeing if they understand, if they've understood the gospel. And we have a lot of kids that aren't Christians that go to the Sunday school. And I think that's the main emphasis of Sunday school sometimes, is to evangelize the other ones and to strengthen the ones that we have. And I know that we have a lot of kids that are coming out of the streets that are just going to Sunday school because something to do on Sunday morning. And it's real interesting to see their attitudes change, and sometimes their lives change, as well as bringing some stuff in that we sometimes curtail, and we deal with that when it does happen. Yeah. No, it ends up that the parents finally come to know the Lord because of the child's involvement. And it's really neat, because I don't know if I shared this beforehand, but there was a 4-year-old kid that his grandfather was just a hard-hearted individual. He wasn't a Christian. But the little kid was on Thanksgiving Day just excited about the Lord, was singing these songs and just showed a radiance. And there was something different in that little child that he was wondering, what is it? And he asked, and he says, it's Jesus, Grandpa, it's Jesus. And Jesus has changed my life. And he's great, and this and that. And the grandpa goes, man, there must be something to this. And so what he did was he went to church to check it out, and he got saved. And he was able to come and tell me how he got saved through his child, through that grandchild. And the thing is that two-year-olds do the same thing too. I've heard a lot of parents come up to me and share with me, my two-year-old kid, my four-year-old kid, my kids are the ones that pull my shirt to get to church. And it's really neat, because it seems like it's turned around. Before it was the kids trying to get the it's turned around. The parents were trying to get the kids in church, and now the kids are trying to get the parents in church. And so that's neat. Yeah. Good. That's a good question. Some of the tools that you'll also need for a new Sunday school room is scissors, crayons, of course, the main things, because they'll be using a lot of scissors and glue and crayons and construction paper, as well as having a copy machine. I don't know if copy machine is important. We have two now, but sometimes these two machines can drive us up the wall. I have a list later on, maybe if you can come up, and I have a list of some of the resources that you can get for for a Sunday school room. We, at the church, we have a resource center, which we call a resource center, and we supply all these things to the teachers. And it's also a headquarters for the teachers. It's where they can come for prayer. For kids that have been acting up, they can be left with me, and I can speak with them. As well as their VCRs and their video cassettes and the tapes and the audios and everything else that comes in there. It's really equipped. We're really blessed to have a resource center like that. Yes? What we do is usually we have alternative teachers. We have two teachers in a classroom most of the time. If a teacher does not show up, what we do is either combine the classrooms, and our classroom sometimes can get up to 70 kids in a classroom. We have a big youth ministries, but most of the time what we'll do is we'll pull one of the extra teachers. We usually have co-teachers in most of our classrooms, so what we do is we pull out one of the extra teachers and use that person to teach that classroom. But the teachers are really excellent. They let me know ahead of time, and then we have a substitute list that they have so that they can call individuals in case there's a problem, or they'll call me up and let me know ahead of time. But they're really good about this. They're really concerned about what's going to happen. They love their kids, and they love their classroom, so they don't want to just leave it, let it go. And they're responsible to get someone to sub on that sheet. It's a sheet that has a lot of alternatives on it, alternative teachers. Well, that's where CEF hits them on Sunday mornings. It's able to the teachers are able to gear it in with the flannel graphs, as well as maybe even using illustrations, because with the memory verse, they all gear it all in together, activities, and if they don't catch it in this direction, maybe they'll catch it through this other direction. And then they ask questions to see if the kids have caught it. Some of the newer kids, they catch on pretty fast. But most of the time, we send them home with a craft as well. And that's where the teachers pick it up in the resource center. They pick up a stack of curriculum, the curriculum and their crafts there in the resource center. And the craft is able to share some type of a lesson. If it's a hat or if it's a plate that has a clock on it, they were maybe studying Matthew 24, the end times or something, they're able to take the message with them home. And that's a good way of evangelizing too, because when they get it home, parent puts on the refrigerator, dad's not a Christian, looks at it, what's that all about? What was this lesson about? The kid repeats it. He's a parrot. He repeats that stuff, and dad's getting convicted, and he gets turned to the Lord. Yeah? They can. Any other questions in Sunday school? Yeah.
How do you avoid your teacher?
Well, usually what we do is we have a time of encouragement during the workshops. And also, if we find a teacher that's getting burned out, I'm trying to think back, when was the last time I had a teacher burned out? Most of them are pretty satisfied with their classrooms, and they're doing really well. If they stay in their word, and also attending the workshops, we're able to nurture them and encourage them and feed them and just really surround them with the love that they need. I know that I've had an incident where I had a Sunday school teacher just recently that came into the resource room because a marriage is starting to break up a little bit, and she was just really hurt and stuff. But we were there to pray for her and to encourage her and to lift her up, and we also just make it open for her to come in for counseling, and we keep a good accountability between our teachers, so that they won't. Once a month, and they're mandatory. They're part of the commitment, as you'll see on this sheet right here. That youth ministry's commitment—that's their commitment. Once they sign that they're making a commitment to come to a workshop once a month, as well as I make a sheet of minutes so that they can, in case they want a vacation or they had some other problems, they're able to see what went on in that workshop. On Sunday, right after service. Yeah, so they can't go anywhere else. They're already at church. I nab them. Yes?
Is there any that curriculum in Spanish?
Well, CEF just started some in Spanish. And they have the flannel graphs, and I didn't bring any, but they do have some curriculum in Spanish. And you can probably use that to minister overseas somewhere in the mission field. On the commitment form, they usually sign up for 6 months. And after the 6 months, if they feel that they're kind of getting weary, they can pull out. But usually I have a Sunday school teacher that's 9 years working in Sunday school. I have another one that's 7, 8, and you think, wow, they should be burned out by now. But you know something? They've just wanted to even serve even further, and we've moved them up. What sometimes we do also is they've worked with the 2-year-olds or the 4-year-olds. We moved them up to kindergarten or first grade or second grade. And so they're challenged, and all of a sudden it's new to them again. It's like, wow, it's back to the drawing board again. It's all new. And that encourages them as well. Any other questions on Sunday school? Yeah. Good. November, this is good. Good point that you brought up. In November of the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and you need to mark it down. If you have Sunday school teachers or even assistant pastors that work in youth ministries, it's called the Glass Convention, and it has all these workshops, all the books, everything. I mean, it's all piled into one. It's a big convention, and it's for 3 days. And you have speakers in youth ministries from everything from for pastors, senior pastors, to evangelism, to 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, everything. I mean, puppets. It's a galore of stuff. Some of the stuff that I picked up, I've gotten from the Glass Convention. Matter of fact, my commitment form and my job description for teachers I picked up over there. It's at the Glass Convention. It's in Pasadena, November the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And you can call just Glass Convention, look it up in the telephone book, and ask for Glass Convention in Pasadena. One other thing I want to share is that we have a special kids for our Sunday school. And we have about maybe 18 kids, handicapped, special kids. Well, we call it special kids because it gives it a better sounding wording than handicap, because we're all special. We all have handicaps, and it works out really well because they use CEF too, but they're nurtured in a different way. It's on a one-on-one teacher basis, and sometimes we work it in different ways, but we also have a double-time classroom. Double-time classroom is that we have 3 services. The middle service is called a double time. It's where the kids that have already gone to maybe first or third service, or are going to third service, where parents are there more than 2 services. The double time, what you do is what they have is videos, games, activities. They prepare it for the kids' enjoyment. In other words, it's no curriculum. It's something to occupy them, where they can just have a lot of fun and enjoyment. And it's worked out really well, and the parents like it because this way the kids aren't double in a Sunday school class or triple in a Sunday school class if you have pastor's kids or people that are there all 3 services. Yes?
You guys didn't go to 2 services.
Praise the Lord! when we go to 2 services, we'll still have a double time class. But when we do go to 2 services, it'll make it a lot easier for a lot of individuals. But we'll have more of a growth. Yes? Yes, well, we require all teachers to go to a service. All teachers are required to go to a service, and then they go and teach. So there's no getting around it. If one of them gets sick, they come and see me, and maybe I'll give them a service tape. And this way they can hear the word. At least they can get what's happening. Yes? You make an example. And and after the example, all of a sudden, it seems like the sheep start to get in order. And one teacher, you share it with one teacher, and if not, then I got to pull you out of the ministry for a little bit until you get yourself back in the service, because they need to get fed. They need to get fed so that they can go out and feed the kids, because they're no use to the kids at all if they're not being fed. No other questions on that? Nursery. Let me get with the last 4 minutes here that I have. The nursery, we have 6 classrooms in the nursery. And we have about 160 kids on a Sunday morning, of infant to toddlers. And what we do is, I have also a brochure up here on nursery. And I've broken it down. It has all the different things that you can cover on the disinfectants and the ratios and the different positions, the director, the coordinator, the leader, the worker. And so if you have a need in nursery, you can look this up. But I want to remind you that it also has a health notes. It's real important that your kids, that your workers in the nursery, look out for kids that are sick. It will cause such a drainage on people coming to church because of kids that are sick. So if you can watch out for this in your nurseries, it's real important. If you keep the babies healthy and if you keep everyone healthy, then you're going to have people coming to church and also your teachers and your workers and everyone else. And so we have an overflow room so that we can put the sick kids or sick babies in a room. Any questions? I know I covered a whole lot of things in just a short time here. There's a whole lot more. If you have any questions or any needs, I make myself available. You can, if you have any problems or anything like that, just call up Calvary Chapel Downey and give me a call down there, and I'll be free to go ahead and answer some questions or even right now. Okay? But before you leave, the person that you shared that problem and that that praise report, I want you to turn to that person. I want you to pray with them before you leave. But I want to end it in prayer and then turn with that person and pray with that individual, okay? So why don't we pray? Father, we just want to thank you for this workshop, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for the kids that you've given us. Lord, we pray that we would be diligent with what kids you've given us, and that we would lead them and guide them in your ways. And that most of all, Lord God, that we would really just give them your word, Lord God, that we would train them up in your ways, that each of us would become instruments to further your gospel, that as we take the things that we might have learned, or even just a simple tool, Lord God, that we can use and multiply it many different directions so that we can bring many more kids into your kingdom, as well as parents and grandparents and uncles and so on and so on. We give you thanks, Lord God, for this time together, and we ask that you bless each of these fellowships that are here, Lord God, that you would blossom their many skills, and as well as just taking care of all their certain areas of problems and concerns. And as we just bless your name right now, Lord God, we give you all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of this message. If you would like further information, please write to Chapel Tapes. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or call our toll-free lines. If you're calling outside of California, the number is 1-800-272-WORD. For those calling inside California, the number is 1-800-282-WORD. May God richly bless you as you continue to study His Word.